Grace, mercy, peace, and joy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Something that's exclusive is something that's set apart. It's different. It's special. By its very nature, it's not available to everyone. If it's exclusive, it's for somebody specifically. In fact, one of the very definitions of exclusive is that it's not divided, that it's not shared with others. Excuse me for a moment. The blessings that we receive are certainly meant to be special. But for the most part, these blessings that we receive are not meant to be exclusive. For sure they are for us, but they're for everyone. When we have something special, we have a couple of choices of what we might be able to do with that thing. We can hold on to it. We can cherish it and never let it out of our sight. That's one option that we have. Or we could generously share it with those who are around us, allowing that blessing to be enjoyed by many more people than just ourselves. But there are a few things which are a little bit harder to share. Physical objects, there are some of them that hold much less value if they're separated from one another, are much more valuable as a pair or as a set. There are heirlooms that might be valuable to you but completely worthless to somebody else. But there's something that is objectively valuable to all of us. It's the most valuable thing ever, in fact. The love of God sent into the world in Christ Jesus. He brings life and he brings light. He brings joy. The joy that came into the world at Christmas in the baby Jesus is too good to be exclusive. That joy obviously is very special, but it's not exclusive. Last week we spent some time talking about how this joy of a baby is too good to be true. It was too good to be true for Abraham, and then also for Zechariah and for Elizabeth, and then of course also for Mary. A joy that was too good to be true, almost impossible for them to even believe. And these were God's faithful people, loyal followers, who worshipped regularly, who knew their scriptures, and did their best to abide by God's commands. You might even say that it's not entirely surprising that if God wanted to bless somebody with the joy of the Messiah, these are the kinds of people that he would bless. Abraham, what a great faith. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who believed. Mary, who credited unto herself as righteousness. Of course, the miraculous circumstances that surrounded the births of Isaac and of John, and then of course of Jesus as well, were far beyond how any of those individuals thought that they could possibly be blessed. But if God was going to bless someone, these are the types of people that you might think would be the recipients of God's blessings. But our text today reminds us that the joy that God sent into the world in Christ Jesus wasn't just for those who we'd assume that he would bless. It wasn't just for the faithful. It wasn't only for the wealthy or the privileged. The Son of God coming into the world was an event that matters to everyone. It has eternal significance for each one of us. This joy is too good to be exclusive. It's for everyone. Just as Luke says to the shepherds, he says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, right? Not for some of you, not for one out of every five or one out of every ten, not for just the ones who look like they should get it, but this good news of great joy is for all people. I've probably told you this before, but I really like nativity scenes. They're just wonderful. Big ones, small ones, ones of different sizes and shapes, ones that have different animals, and ones from around the world too. Ones from different cultures are always very interesting to me. And the ones that I really like from different cultures are ones that depict baby Jesus as looking very much like the majority of the people would look from the place where that nativity scene was made. In Chinese nativities, Jesus looks Asian, right? In African portrayals, his skin is darker. In German and Scandinavian nativities, Jesus is a blue-eyed European. We just put up our big nativity scene outside this last weekend. And this is our baby Jesus. I didn't take him out of there. I didn't steal him out of the nativity scene. He's supposed to be in here until Christmas Eve, right? Because all the other things gather around, and then baby Jesus comes on Christmas Eve. And we probably think, hey, this is a great-looking baby Jesus, isn't it? He's really peaceful. He looks a little bit like me. I like him. And you know why I like this baby Jesus? It's because he looks a little bit like me. It reminds me that Jesus came for me. And in those other nativities too, that's exactly what's happening. But it is taking a little bit of liberty, isn't it? Because the objective reality is that Jesus actually did have a human form. And he looked like something. He looked like a Middle Eastern Jew, I'm sure. He almost certainly didn't look like you or me or that little baby Jesus that I just held up there laying in the hay, right? But what I like about all of these portrayals and what I think they get right, at least in one sense, is that the angel came with a good message of good news for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The baby Jesus is born for you. He's yours. And what we know is that that joy that he brings is too good to be exclusive. It's pretty incredible that the people who hear the good news first, outside of Mary and Joseph, obviously, because they knew first, but the other ones who hear it first are the shepherds, likely homeless and poor, certainly insignificant in their culture. These shepherds are the ones who get the news first. The Savior is born for those who are insignificant, those who are stuck in our sins, those whose hearts are homeless and poor in spirit, who feel like everyone else has got it all together. The angel comes to them. He comes to us because I think that's often an accurate description of who we are. While he came for all, the first to hear that good news are those who don't have it all together. The angel comes to them, and he comes to us. And those shepherds who likely weren't faithful, who likely weren't loyal followers, who likely did not know their scriptures, immediately believed, and they were given a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. When the Son of God took on human nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he didn't just become a man, he became man. He took all of humanity into himself in his incarnation, for he came to bear the sins of all humanity in his body. That includes every nation and every race and every people and every language. Though Jesus was indeed a Jew, his birth reveals the truth that there is in fact only one human race, the fallen children of Adam. And in his newborn body laid in the manger, every sin is redeemed and is restored by God. Jesus is the embodiment of all people from every corner of the globe. and in his body all people are put right with God again. And so when Jesus is portrayed as the culture of the people who are portraying him, theologically speaking, that's true. By becoming man, Christ becomes one with all people to deliver all people. The Savior is born to you, and he's born for you. He's one of us. He's our very flesh and blood. He's our true human brother. There's no one left out there. There's no one left out of the new life that comes from his holy birth. He's like you in every way, except for one. He's without sin, so that you might become like him in every way and share in his divine glory. This alone is the basis for the peace on earth of which those angels sang. It's the reason for the joy that they proclaim. God and sinners are reconciled. We sinners are no longer under God's wrath. We're at peace with him again through his selfless mercy. Heaven and earth are at peace. God and man are brought back together in Jesus. For Jesus is God and man together in one person. And so when we are baptized into Christ, we're put right with God. And when we live in Christ, we're put right with one another as well. The only peace on earth that lasts is the peace of Christ. Forgiven sinners, united as one in his holy body. It's a joy that's too good to be exclusive. Of course, there wasn't probably a whole lot of peace and joy on that first Christmas night for Mary and Joseph. Obviously, they knew that the Savior of the world had been born, and in that there was joy, but maybe not a whole lot of peace. Because not only did they have to deal with the stress and the anxiety of traveling to Bethlehem for that census, but also of trying to find a place for them to lodge while Mary was in labor, there was no place for them except with the animals. Imagine a first-time mother trying to give birth under those conditions. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter that she was a first-time mother. Giving birth under those conditions probably weren't good for anyone. The fact that Jesus was born in those circumstances, though, is prophetic of his whole ministry. How he would be despised and rejected by men. John 1 says that he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. People didn't understand or grasp who he truly was. He was an outcast, and he was an outsider. And then John goes on to say, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We all, I'm sure, of course, would like to think that if we had been there on that first Christmas Eve, that we would have made room for the Holy Family, right? But the truth is that our lives often say otherwise. We too have shut Jesus out. It's not only those who stay away from the divine service, those who don't come to church, or at least not that often, who push Jesus away, who don't have any room for him in their inn. No, also those of us who are here regularly keep him closed in to the church and don't have room for him in our day-to-day lives. We shut out the word of Christ in certain circumstances. We shut out the people to whom Christ is present for us to love. We don't have to deal with the inconvenience of letting Jesus in because of the changes that we might have to make in the way that we would live. That's us sometimes. Whatever the case may be, though, whoever you are, the message of this night, the message of the birth of Christ, is that he came to rescue you, to forgive you. He has made room for you by His gracious mercy. He was willing to deal with the indignities of His lowly birth and of His humble life and of His humiliating death in order that you might be dignified and exalted and lifted up with Him in His resurrection to everlasting life. To all of you, whoever you are, whatever circumstances you find yourselves from, wherever you come from, whatever you've done, know this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In Him, you are forgiven. You are put right with God. All is well. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is, as the angels said, good news of great joy that will be for all people. A joy that's too good to be exclusive. Amen. The peace and joy of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.